Thank the Lord this morning for His salvation to you and me. And I hope each one of us are extremely happy today. Not so much in the world or not because of the world, but because of Him who overcame the world. And I'm glad that you and me can have a joy in spite of what happens around us or even to us. Because the Lord said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And I believe that. I really believe that Jesus Christ overcame the devil, the spirit of the world. I believe He overcame the human afflictions of the mind and body. I believe He gives us a new neighbor, a new nature rather, gives us a new life. And I thank God for that today, that we don't have to be under the penalty of death, but even with that and beyond that, we don't have to be under the penalty of that old nature that was full of fear and corrosion and corruption, but we can have a new spirit and have a new heart. What a wonderful thing the Lord has done for us. The Lord has great plans for His people. He doesn't want mankind scattered. He doesn't want us fearful. He wants to bring us into a wealthy place, into a very large room, I believe the psalmist wrote about. I'd like to talk a little bit about that in some rather general terms maybe and a few specifics today. I want to think about the place, the home that Jesus Christ brought us to. It can be called the kingdom of God. It can be called the church of God. It can also be called the family of God. And I'd like to maybe think of it in terms of a family today. And let's let our minds kind of branch out a little bit. I know I tend to think in terms of things that are relative to me, things that are peculiar to me, the social places that I've been in, the way that I was, my mindset, experiences. But let's think about a great family that encompasses the whole world. And think about the magnificence of that. You think about the United Nations, created, I believe, after World War II. I cannot fault man's desire, cannot fault man's wanting to bring a unity to the world. But look at the chaos and the confusion and the arguments that can be made against, say, the United Nations. But you look at the kingdom of God and the family of God and begin to understand what the Lord did and how the Lord made one out of such a diversity. And I want to thank the Lord for that today, and maybe you and me would become even more excited about this wonderful thing called the family of God. Paul mentions it as he said he bowed on his knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in earth, in heaven and earth, is named. The family extends beyond my house and yours and this congregation. The family of God reaches out to every blood-washed one. In fact, that's part of the entrance into the birth of the family. I'd like to begin reading this morning in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. In the 26th verse, it said, "And God said, what power and authority is in this phrase? And God said." You and me begin to do something. It begins as an idea and certain concepts. Then we have to put our hands to it and our bank account to it, perhaps. We have to go out and get materials that have already been made and created. And we begin to assemble them with welds or nuts and nails and all those type of things, fasteners of some kind. But the Lord said, let us do something. And by His word, all that is created was created from things that didn't previously exist. Everything the Lord does is holy and divine and miraculous. And part of the walk of faith is believing that God owes His creation and He owes Himself. He owes His person to no one else. And His divine power cannot be attributed back to any credentials, but He's God. And He said, God said Himself, and this is something that you and me must respect. Let us make man. I want you to think about that. That begins to understand, I begin to understand this is a commission that I have. That this is something the Lord created, and I have a duty and an obligation to respect what the Lord has done. The Lord created man. The Lord created man, He said, in His own image. He gave him a spirit. He gave him an eternal being, unlike any other creatures that He made. And then in the 27th verse, it said, so God created man in His own image. The first cause of all things is God. God created. God spoke. Now let's honor Him and thank Him. Okay, let's go over now into Colossians, the first chapter. Think about something. Colossians, the first chapter and the 16th verse. This is speaking of Christ and of God. This is speaking and referring us back to their divine power and authority and their creative authority. And Jesus is the Word of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was there in the beginning, the Word of God. So they're synonymous in that sense. And here's something that we want to pick up as we study the family this morning, the family of God. For by Him, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be, and it goes on and says, all things were created by Him and for Him. All things that were and are created by the Lord. Now, you up to think about that, and you begin to consider the diversities, the different things God created. And it begins to let us know what a mighty God and a wonderful God and a truly wise God we serve, that He made this world. He made it such that it would support life, feed life. He put life on earth. He put breath in life. And He caused the order of all things to be that we could stay here and live here. So the Lord created this. Something happened. Something very terrible, something very, most terrible happened. Man decided that he could try some things on his own. And that started disrupting the order or the plan or the hope that God had. And after the fall of Adam and Eve, this perfect state was blighted. This perfect state was hurt in such a way that men began then to follow their own devices. And they begin to follow their own ways. So this that God had created in His own image, and had spoke the Word and said, let us do it, so God created man, began to take a life of its own. Think about it. They had owed its life to God. It was going back to God. But yet in the separation, it began to develop its own ideas, its own thinking, its own ways. There was a nature in man that became prevalent and overcome the Spirit of the Lord that would try to deal. And it wasn't too long till we see that Cain up and slew Abel. Man began to seize his own identity. And he quit associating with God. And he wasn't able to equate himself to God. And that man, that nature of man, the idea of man began to prevail. And quite a separation. It's kind of like a bomb going off and the fragments going everywhere. Man was dispersed across the whole world's surface. Men were in every country. Men were all over the world. And they began to devise their own ways, their own things, their own laws, their own lack of laws. People became strong and there were weak people, and consequently there was rulers and governors and kings, and they created all manner of religion. Just think of the diversity of religions. Somewhere in there, and I'm not getting into all of this, but skin colors changed, complexions changed, hair textures changed, social customs changed, the amount of clothes they wore, didn't wore changed, and just on and on. Think about all the things that happened when man and the bomb, you might say, went off, and all the fragments were dispersed, and man began to develop himself and not rely on God. But yet in the heartbeat of God, in the very center of God's will was a longing and a cry and a desire to gather back to Himself that which had been lost. We owe God a great gratitude today. Now, that God undertook then to reconcile and bring back the family and bring us back to Him was not a light undertaking. It was a major undertaking, because the man that He created with a mind and a spirit and intellect and the able ability to make decisions and chart his own course, that man was created with tremendous power and authority, and they took it and seized it and went about, and look what happened. Look at the diversity that is in the world today. Look at all the manners of religion, all the manners of people, customs, all the thoughts and the patterns. Think in your own family of all the individuality of it. But God had a burden, still does, to take all those pieces that were fragmented and gather them back together. We owe God a wonderful praise this morning, that He so loved you and He so loved me, that He saw us scattered, and yet His arms, His love, and His blood went out to want to gather us back to Himself. And we want to honor Him this morning, and we want to thank Him for that. His broken creation that had taking its own way, and you study the Bible even, and then you study history. And folks, it did not take long after the fall for things to get bad and get bad quick. It didn't take long for a generation to develop that didn't even know the Lord. It didn't take long for what we call heathenism to be the rule of the land. And the Lord, in His mercies to us, wanted to draw us back to Himself. I believe what's important to God has got to be essentially important to us. I believe what God has put His hand on as this is important, we should honor that, respect that. I think about the family of God, how much respect we owe to it, because it is something the Lord valued above the suffering of His Son, Jesus Christ. It was a gathering that He wanted, not only among one race of people, the descendants of Abraham by the flesh, but He wanted to go to everywhere man had been fragmented. He wanted to go everywhere to a piece of shrapnel fell out there somewhere and gather that piece, gather that group, gather those people back unto Himself. And in so doing, He faced an enormous burden, an enormous work. Because not only did He have to bring them in to begin with, but He then had to begin to allow them and cause them to begin to mesh with the other people. That's a major undertaking. You know, in a family that has been reared in the same home, sometimes that's a major undertaking. But if you bring in two or three other children and another cook and a whatever, you find then that begins to be a real burden. So the Lord went out and called us all into one place. Lord, help us today to respect what the Lord counted as important. And in so doing, Give us a greater understanding, Lord, of your family and how important it is to you and consequently how important it is to us. I would like to thank you to think about it this morning a little bit. Where did you come from? What was your history? Where did the Lord find you? Where were you gathered out of? And after you were gathered, what were you gathered out of, not only from a geographical sense, but also what had you been taught and how had you been trained? How did your temperament train you? How were you reacting to life's crisis and difficulties? What was important to you? What was your attitudes about life? The Lord today gathered us out from many, many places, and He's still doing it. And today, if you're not in this family, today, if you have not been gathered unto Him, we want you to know something. The Lord is still reaching out, still wanting to bring in that which is lost, still looking for that sheep that's scattered out on the hills and the valleys and the deserts of life, still reaching out to call men to Him, gathering us together. I'd like to read a scripture that's in Genesis, the 49th chapter. It was as in, you've heard it many times or often maybe, when the Lord, when Jacob was blessing his children, and we know that Judah was one of his children, and we know that Jesus Christ was of the tribe of Judah, as was David. The lineage came down for Christ through Judah. And he said in the 49th chapter of Genesis, in the 10th verse, 9th verse, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him? Then it said, the scepter, the seal of authority, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, till peace comes, till that which can minister peace and bring peace with God comes. And it said, and unto him, to Shiloh, shall a gathering of the people be. When you begin to think now of the scripture that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I would like for you to let your mind branch out from just yourself. Use yourself as a base, perhaps, and think about what the Lord did for you in calling you into the family. Think about the walls that had to be broken down. Think about the light that had to shine on the lies that we had learned. Think about the new mind and the new spirit that God had to develop in us. Think about the nurture and the care that God had to extend to us. Think about the long suffering and the patience that God gave to you. Think about all the tender mercies and the kindness and the long-suffering that went into you being gathered in. Then think of this. Come unto me all. Think about the enormity of the undertaking that God had taken upon Himself to call every man and every woman in their scattered state, in their sin, in their fear, in their pride, in all of the illusions that they had developed, all the social customs that are prevalent in the world today. Think about what God said when Jesus said, come unto me. A gathering together to Shiloh. Being justified by faith, now we have peace with God, He said, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to minister to us. The angels declared peace on earth, glory to God in the highest, and on our earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The outcry of God, the longing of the heart, the message from the cross, come unto me. I will bring you back to that estate that you have wandered from. When the sin, the bomb of sin went off in your life and you were hurled out from the body, from the family of God in guilt. I want to bring you home. I want to bring you back. I want to make you a part of me. We want to remember this, that the family, obviously it's important. And it is a means of identifying what God brings us to. But it's also bringing us to Himself, to the head. Now we become not just a part of a great group, but we become part of the head, God the Father, Jesus Christ. So you think about it now. He said, come unto me, all you that labor. Then I'm challenged. When I see the person that doesn't think like I think, God called him too. When I see the person that doesn't understand the things that I understand the way I understand it, God called her too. Think about it. God called us with such a diversity that it's astounding, is it not? And God told us that we could have patience and grace and long-suffering and love and mercy, just like He did. He said He'd give us His Spirit so the interactions of the family wouldn't get to us, and that we could be a blessing, and we could understand, we could long for, and we could hope for, and we could enjoy. Over in Colossians again, the first chapter, in the 19th verse. For it pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus Christ, that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, in earth, or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked work, yet now hath He reconciled. Thank the Lord for this scripture that tells us the means of being brought back in and reconciled with God was the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter said that we haven't been redeemed and made new. We haven't been called. We haven't been reconciled by the blood of animals or corruptible things, but by the very real, costly, precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is how much we need to understand, how much we need to respect the family of God, that we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. This word purchased means costly, expensive. It was an honored thing. It was not just an indifferent thing, but it was highly esteemed of God. He said, without this blood, there's no remission of sin. So it was not just a tokenism, but it was the very life of Jesus Christ that was being poured out for mine and your peace and for our reconciliation. It is to be esteemed. It is to be beloved. To cared about. And all this, Jesus Christ shed His precious blood to reconcile this family back to Him. You think about the family. Families on earth have certain characteristics and traits that go back generations. And Lord, help us today to begin to see and expect to see the very characteristics of Christ now in our life. Something wonderful happened. We were called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We were washed in His precious blood. We were made new by the new birth through Jesus Christ. And we were brought into the kingdom, to the church, to the family. Lord, help us today to count that a privilege. Not only so, but everyone that we see that's in the family, thank God for them. Did you know the angels in heaven rejoiced when you were saved? And the angels rejoiced in heaven when the man across the world was saved? The angels rejoiced when every one of us here that are saved today was saved. And what did He do? He said, come unto me. Did he say, now you've all got to be of this same particular demeanor? Y'all have to be blondes. Y'all have to be redheads. Y'all have to be brunettes. Do you all have to be between the ages of certain here and there? He just said, come. I love you. I care about you. You're important to me. I want you to be reconciled. I want you to have peace. I want the war that has disfigured you and hurt you and caused great tears. I want there to be a wonderful estate of peace there through my Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us today to esteem one another, to honor one another, to respect one another, to look on each other with a anticipation of, oh, that's my brother, that's my sister, what can they give? What, God, you've placed them in my life, and they're very important. Those brothers and sisters that are around the world that you and me will never meet, let's thank God for them. For them, God has reconciled through Jesus. And He's given them, as He has us, the message of reconciliation. Thank the Lord this morning that we've been purchased with a real wonderful price, precious price, the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to esteem that. We need to count that a worthy sacrifice, divine and holy in all of its aspects. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, one thing I want to interject here is, Paul said in one place that the Lord might open our eyes, and I understand it. Where I have difficulty as a human is I see things my way. I see things through my eyes. And that can be dangerous. And it can be untrue. And it cannot have the true light in it. And God's merciful and deals with us. But I want to understand something about myself. I'm not wise enough to behold all the workings of God. And I need the very influence of the Spirit and the influence of the Word of God to teach me that I can value the things that God values. And one of the things that God devalues is my opinion. And I need to be willing then to esteem the things of the Lord most highly. Above myself, above my opinion, above the way that I have learned, and I'm not speaking against the doctrines, please don't misconstrue this, but the way that I have applied things in my life, or the way that I think others ought to live. And I'm not speaking about just spiritual living, but spiritual lives, but living itself. To esteem what God has done. Very wonderful. First Corinthians in the 12th chapter, in the 12th verse. Maybe read down through the 14th. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now listen to this. Whether they be Jew or Gentile. Me and you don't understand that. I'm convinced of that entirely. There was a gulf and a separation of everything between the Jew and the Gentile. You name it, it was different. Their worship is from there on down. Their dietary, their laws, their concept of religion and the true God. And what did he just say here? We've all been baptized into one Spirit, by one Spirit. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, think about now the conditions that exist between a man that is free and a man that is a slave. Think about all the vast array of things that you and me probably would never think of that can occur between a bond man and a free man. And yet God has called them all, every one of them. He called the free man and he called the slave. He called the Gentile and he called the Jew. Do you see why the kingdom didn't need to be left to anybody else? Do you see why we need the divine in the family? Do you see why we need to submit ourselves to that divine influence of the Spirit? The Spirit who called us? The Spirit who sets the members in the order in the body? The Spirit who has the wisdom and the discernment and the understanding to orchestrate and lead and guide the body? To cause the harmony and the unity, the preference of the to one another, the interactions one with another, setting forth a goal before us for the common good, for the common purpose. May the Lord help you and me to understand we can't take this and just say, well, I'm saved, and because I don't understand Him, I'm going to hold them or hold her or... No, Lord, help us to recognize the Lord set about for something wonderful to take place when He called the Jew and the Gentile, the bond and the free, the male, the female. He called men of all races, all colors, all ethnic backgrounds. He called the man in prison. He called the man in the courthouse. He called men all the way across the world, said, come unto me. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you're needy, you're laboring, the weights, the scars of the oppression of sin is more than you can handle. You've taken your own way. Your happiness is gone. Your peace with my Father is gone. Come to me, every one of you. You need help. The Lord has been gracious to mankind. He went out to a fragmented society who hates each other, said, come, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your soul. He went out to people that are murderers and killers and dope addicts and said, come unto me. He went out to that man, that woman who is full of unbelief and bitterness and been scarred by life and said, come to me. And what do they come? They come to the family. And often we become in contact one with another. Lord, give us the Spirit of God. Give us the attitude of God. Give us the mind of God. Give us the foresight of God. Give us the long-suffering of God. That we might be that cooperation that God wants us to be. And I believe we are. But Lord, help our minds to understand the magnitude of what You did for us. The love that was involved in it. The pain that You had to go through to do it. And the love that caused You to be willing to do it all. And He said in the 13th verse, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free. Spirit. Now think about it. We owe our new life to the same thing. We owe our new birth to the same thing. To the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of God. We owe our deliverance from sin to the same source. We owe our happiness to the same source. Excuse me. We owe our peace with God to the same source. Every one of us has this in common. And God wants that to be something that will melt us and melt us together. For by one body, for the body is not one, but many members. Thank the Lord today for the diversity that's in the body of Christ. Thank the Lord for the greatness of it. How great is the variety in the church of God? How many individuals are they? How many people are in the family? We that have family members, and thankfully we all do, think of that diversity. Think of that, all the things they contribute, all the things that they bring in. A great, great variety of individuals and individuality. Because each one then has their place. Each one has their perspective. Each one has their temperament. Each one has their means of expression. Each one of them have things that God has allowed to be imported in their life. Each one has their battles they face. Each one has their tears they cry. Each one has their monsters they have to face. Each one of them has their cross. Each one of them has hopes and desires and ambitions and plans. But the variety of those things is multiplied by the multiple individuality. And yet God said, I love you. God's accepted. Peter learned that lesson. He was up preaching and the Holy Spirit came out of him, or came upon the message rather, and men began to speak with tongues and converted that were not Jews. And he said, look, how can we forbid these folks water? Because the Holy Spirit's been poured out on them just like on us. Did Peter understand the Gentile? Of course he didn't. Did the Gentile understand Peter? No, of course they didn't. But they did understand this much, that the same Spirit that called them called the Gentile. Called the man that was a tax collector or whatever he may have been. The same Spirit. And what did they do? Sure, there were some difficulties. Sure, there were some prayer meetings. Sure, there were some things they didn't understand. But they had a desire in them to be one. May we today have that overwhelming desire, as He who has called us is one, that this wonderful family be one. Unity, preserve it. Don't let the devil come and whisper in your ear about someone. Just don't allow it. Brother Philip told us something last Sunday night. I wish everybody could have heard it. I listened to the whole message, but wow, I got this out of it for sure. He said, now, this is my words, but it's going to be right. It'll be very close. He said, when the Lord speaks to us, He's calling us to Himself. And I sat over there and I thought, Stanley, you've been listening to something that wasn't calling you to Christ. Think about it. Every one of us has got opinions. Every one of us has ambitions and desires. Every one of us has feelings, and those feelings, can they speak to you? Wow, can they ever? And I want to tell you something. My feelings that whole week had been speaking to me. All week long they had been speaking to me. And wow, it went off just like a light bulb. They wasn't drawing me a bit closer to God and to Christ. But He told us in the message that the Lord speaks to us to draw Him to us. So sure, we have opinions. Watch them. Be careful. Do you have opinions and ideas? Sure you do. Do you agree with everybody all the time? We're not that naive, are we? But be careful. Be careful. If that voice that's in you that speaks, and they speak all the time to us, it's not drawing you to Christ, just put a big old red X on it and say, no way, I refuse to listen to that. Because this Spirit that called us is one Spirit. This God who called us, He said, behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. I'm the Lord. Hear me, He called out for us. Thou shalt have no other God before me. This God, by His one self, His one Son, by His one Spirit, called us to Himself. And He reached out to a bunch of people. And He reached out to a bunch of different kinds of people. And I'm thankful for it. Because I'm better, you're better because one of another. Yes, we are. Did you know we love to be helped by one another? And I want to tell you something. If anybody's been helped by the saints, you know, this is one man that's been blessed by the saints. Okay. We all enjoy being blessed by the family. We don't always enjoy being challenged by the family. In your family, are you ever challenged by a clash of ideas? You don't have to speak. Husbands and wives, is it 100% lovey-dovey, perfect harmony every day? Oh, honey, that's exactly what we ought to do. You know, well, honey, you just hit the nail on the head every time. Sure. But you know, there's something greater than the grievances or the disagreements we have, and that's the marriage. That's the home. That's the family. That's the children. That's a responsibility that we have. I don't understand what she's talking about. But I admire her and I love her and I respect her and I'm going to honor her. Think about it. When we work with inside the confines of the family of God, God will use that diversity to rankle us, kind of scuff us up a little bit. You know what he's doing, if we'll allow him? He's opening our eyes. He's allowing you and me to, one, exercise ourselves under godliness, which is very profitable. And a soft answer, whatever it may take. But he's also helping us to see. Just like the Lord, was it Elisha prayed for his servant? Lord, open his eyes. Left to ourselves, I am convinced we're narrow-minded and tunnel-visioned. Left to ourselves. Now, God comes into the picture and, wow, his eyes are everywhere. You know, we don't use it, but some religions have used the all-seeing eye, you know. God sees everything. Don't be so high-minded to think, well, God will reveal it to me. He'll just come down and speak to me. You know who he's going to speak through? Your wife, your husband, your pew mate, your Sunday school teacher, your Sunday school class. The Lord's going to speak to you by, what did they do? They want what? The Lord says, they want it. And they're right. Nothing wrong with what they just said. Just that you've never thought of it that way before. Now, we're not talking about sin and unholy things. We're talking about Christian living this morning. Thank God for the family. Thank God for what you've done for me. Thank God for the times that I've not understood. And this is too great a thing for me to cast away just because I don't understand something. Just because I may disagree with someone. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? I don't want to go anywhere else, do you? One Spirit. One working of God. And as you and me will allow ourselves to come under that Spirit's control, I don't know all the reasons the Lord said, tarry in Jerusalem. I know he said, power from on high. If you want to know a statement that can really get us to thinking, is that power from on high. How great it is, and how much that power is needed for the family. How much that one Spirit is needed in the family. The Lord recognized that those disciples, they may have still been squabbling at that time. I don't know. And he understood the challenges that they were going to face. He knew about a cup that he had presented to them and said, drink. And they said, oh, we can drink it. And they didn't know what they were talking about. He knew explicitly how much they were going to need that Spirit. He said, don't you try to go out without it. I want to encourage us today, the family of God, with all that we have, all the diversity. I am convinced of this. If we don't tarry in Jerusalem, we're going to miss the diversity. And we're going to hold the diversity at arm's length. But I believe if you and me receive the Spirit of God, God's going to take that diversity and the light's going to come on, the beauty's going to shine on it, and just what it could be to me will become me. It will become for me. So I love the church, don't you? The kingdom of God, family of God. Do we always understand each other? Most likely not. Does that mean everybody that you don't understand is wrong? Of course not. Does it mean we need more of the workings of the Spirit? Yes. Does it mean that we need more understanding of what the Spirit says to the church today? Of course it does. Does it mean that we will be exercised, that we might grow? Sure it does. But listen, it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that are exercised by it. I can draw back and say, no! And I can atrophy spiritually. You can atrophy spiritually. Or I can take the challenge that's presented to me, and I can humble myself before the mighty hand of God, and He'll begin to enlighten us, teach us, show us. And He'll begin to see, you know, most of you here know it. I went through a period of whatevers. I don't have a name for it, so I call it the whatevers, I guess. But you know, and don't think me a hero if I'm trying to sound like a hero. But did you know I learned a lot, still learning by it. And it taught me how to relate and empathize with people and things prior to that I didn't understand. It helped me gain insights that I would have gained no other way. It humbled me, and it showed me some defaults or some defects in my thinking. And it magnified, just like when my first wife was so sick, the beauty of the body and how much we need one another. It brought me to a deeper understanding of how valuable the family is and how precious it is. It's worth dying for. Not literally so much, but to my way, my attitude, my brashness. Me thinking that I've got a little insight on this, and people, no, it brought me down. I mean, I don't like to think of myself as a proud person, but let that be as it may. It made me aware of the contributions and the value of you that I know. Well, I look, multiply you by the whole world. Look at the asset that's out there. Brother Peter in Africa. Chances are you and me will never meet the man. Yet he's called for fast and prayers. And who's he praying for? People in America. That's wonderful. He doesn't even know us, really. But that one Spirit works within him. So this morning I'd like to encourage us to look at the family through the eyes of the Spirit, through the eyes of God. And I know this, we'll grow. I believe, you know, when a preacher sometimes preaches, he says things that it may sound like an indictment, and God forbid, I don't mean it that way at all. But understand the necessity of looking at the family through the eyes of the Spirit and through the eyes of God. Through the eyes of what Christ considered valuable. And then take our values and place them exactly where Christ placed them. On His church. On His people. On the cause of His Father. And what was the cause of His Father? Come. All you that labor and heavy laden, come unto me. And I will give you rest. There remaineth therefore, Hebrews 4:9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. God wants that for every one of us. And He wants that rest in our interactions, in our workings with one another, in our appreciations one with another. Every one of us across this world, there's one thing in common for sure. We've all received the same invitation. It was not a different invitation to different folks. All you that labor, come to me. So I thank the Lord this morning for the family of God. Just some few thoughts on it. And my burden is that we begin with all our heart to view the family as something orchestrated and begun by God, and look at it through the Spirit of God that called us. You pray for me.